Like Effect continues here on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The Morning Glory Art Fair takes place this weekend. The nationally recognized Jurd Fair is in its 45th year and showcases artists and craftspeople from around the country. This year, even more artists have been invited to show their work as the location of the fair has moved to the plaza in front of the Pfizer Forum. Andrew Linderman is one of them. The Minnesota native and former chemistry teacher now calls Milwaukee home. He creates pieces he describes as functional, pieces that enhance the interaction between food, people, and their community. But he's only been focusing on his art full-time for a short while. Linderman told Lake Effect's Bonnie North how his journey led him from teaching chemistry to throwing pots.
I went to Luther College, which is in a little town northeastern Iowa, and I got my degree in chemistry education. I taught high school chemistry for about 6.5 years. Been living in Milwaukee for about 5 years now, and the last year and a half, I've been making my ceramics full time.
Had you been doing ceramics before, even when you were teaching?
Yeah, I started my senior year at college and kind of, you know, had room for an elective class my senior year. Said, hey, that looks like a lot of fun. And then spent pretty much all my free time in the ceramic studio. And once I graduated, I found a wheel on Craigslist, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
I find the combination of chemistry and potting, I guess, is that the right?
That works for me.
Does that work? It's an interesting one because, of course, there's so much chemistry involved in the glazes, in making sure the temperatures are right. You know, so much is happening chemically in the art that you've chosen to do.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a really good marriage. You know, I clearly have some sort of, you know, analytical forte in my brain somewhere. And merging that with the creativity and the physicality of throwing and making functional ceramics is a lot of fun. And I have a really good time formulating my own glazes and experimenting with that. And every time I fire up a kiln, it's like a little science experiment. And obviously you have certain expectations of what the work is going to look like when it comes out of the kiln, and you're hoping that you're communicating your artistic ideas effectively. But in order to do that, you also have to have all this technical background for the ceramics as well.
Do you find that analytical mind sometimes gets in the way of the creative stuff? Do you think too much about, you know, what you're putting together to create the glaze or how long you're firing something? Or
I do my best to not overthink things. I think I'm usually pretty good about, you know, if I'm sitting down in the studio and throwing, I'm trying to be as present and mindful in that moment as I can be. And then when I'm in the other half of my studio mixing up glazes or doing a test, I'm trying to be as present for that as possible when that time comes. I also do a lot of wood firing, which is a completely different than just, you know, mixing up a glaze and putting an electric kiln. And the chemistry knowledge on how the combustion of the wood in the kiln works and that sort of thing, I think also integrates that pretty well.
That's interesting. I didn't even know people fired with wood kilns because it's harder to keep the temperature even, I would imagine.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I wish I had my own wood kiln. I live right here in Milwaukee, and I don't think my neighbor, whose door is about 50 feet away from mine, would appreciate it. But basically, you know, we're firing only with wood. That's how ceramics were first fired, you know, way back thousands and thousands of years ago. And the types of kilns that I enjoy firing, a lot of that technology goes back a few thousand years in Japan and China. And we've adapted that, obviously, with more modern materials. We have digital pyrometers that measure the temperature so we know whether the temperature is increasing or decreasing, but knowing how much wood to put in to see whether the atmosphere in the kiln is oxidative and has oxygen in it or is reducing and pulling oxygen atoms out of the clay body and the glazes in the kiln.
So what does that kind of firing do that an electric kiln doesn't do for your pieces?
I think the variation in the surfaces and a lot of serendipity during the firing, the results on the work are very dependent on where they're placed in the kiln, what pieces they're next to. Do they have a glaze on them, or is it just the raw clay on the surface? Is it a hot part of the kiln? Is it a cold part of the kiln? Is there a lot of ash from the wood that lands on it? I'm really interested in seeing what the wood ash does when it lands on the work, because that's what's actually creating the glaze in some of the longer firings. So you might have a very shiny surface, and you go, well, that's glazed, and it is, but there wasn't any glaze on the piece when it went into the kiln. It's all from the actual ash from the wood that we're stoking into the kiln over the course of anywhere from a 26-hour firing for a short one in a small kiln to over 5 days in a very large kiln.
So the ash actually becomes, through that chemical process, the glaze.
Yeah. So
it melts, essentially?
Yeah. Around 2,000 to 2,300 degrees Fahrenheit, the ash starts to get hot enough where it'll melt. It's like a honey sort of molasses consistency at that temperature, and it starts sticking to the sides of the pottery, and then that turns into the glaze.
Oh, very cool. I had no idea that that was even possible. You know, the thing about pottery, I think a lot of us, we just use it. We don't think about how it's made. You know, we see things that are quote-unquote a little rougher looking, things that are a little more finely done. But, you know, the actual process that gets it to the cup in my hand, it is such an interesting one. It's, you know, the journey of that piece is so interesting.
Yeah, and I think especially in contemporary ceramics as a whole, there's a lot of different means to get to that end of a final piece, whether it's brightly colorful with underglazes and slips and fired in an electric kiln, or fired, you know, for days on end in a wood kiln, or whatever method. And there's so much, such variation nowadays. It's really neat to see.
In the 5 years or so that you've been doing this more or less full time, what has changed for you? Are you finding yourself drawn to particular processes that you weren't before?
Yeah, so I've been working with clay for about 8 years. The last year and a half has been full time.
Okay.
And in that course of time, my first wood firing about 4 years ago or so, working for days on end, we're taking shifts with anywhere from two or three people up to a dozen people, because I can't stay awake for 5 days straight to put wood into a kiln.
Most people can't, no.
So I was really drawn to both the communal aspect of that process and the work that comes out, all the variation and how it's got a really natural sort of texture to it. I spent a lot of time as a kid camping and outdoors with the Scouts, and I think some of that, I'd like that to come out when I have my work finished. So that's kind of what has drawn me in. After my first firing, I went back to the student and I said, okay, how can I try to maybe mimic some of this in an electric kiln in a reliable manner? And maybe got partway there, but not entirely successful as far as that goes. But I was able to find some other glazes that really spoke to me, and I liked the surfaces, and they had a lot of texture and depth. And so I'm using that for my work that I fire in my electric kiln, because I don't have my own wood kiln, so I wouldn't be able to make a large enough body of work to, you know, pay the mortgage.
Exactly. Where is the kiln that you do use, the wood one?
So I fired in a number of different kilns with some, you know, friends and colleagues. There's a two-chamber kiln out near just south of Delafield. A friend of mine, Dwayne Peterson, it's like a 100-plus-year-old family farm, and it's kind of like his retirement project. He built this wood kiln, and so I fired that a couple of times, and that gets fired twice a year. My mentor, as far as wood firing goes, his name's Simon Levin. He's got a kiln up in northern Wisconsin, just west of Shawano, and then recently moved down to Springfield, Illinois, so he also has a kiln down there.
So there were more than I would have thought that there were around, and that's really kind of cool. And so when the one in Delafield gets fired up, do you save pieces for that so that you can bring things to that twice a year firing?
Yeah. So my normal sort of working cycle in the studio is I use a high iron stoneware for all my electric work in my electric kiln, so it fires to a really nice dark brown color. Whereas the work that goes in the wood kiln, I'm using a porcelain, so like the stuff your toilet's made out of. And I let some of my stoneware contaminate that to change some of the colors that I get out of the wood firing, but it's kind of two separate working processes. So a few weeks or a month ahead of the firing is when I'll be making work for that wood firing. That'll go through a first firing, which is called a bisque firing, that sets the clay partially. It's still porous. And then I can, you know, load it up into the car and bring it over to the kiln to fire.
So the things you brought, and there will be pictures on our website, you brought very basic things, cups, bowls, a glass.
Yeah.
Although, of course, it's not glass, it's ceramic. But yes. Do you like working with those kinds of shapes, or do you also have an interest in things that are not necessarily practical?
I definitely am drawn to the functional object. I think ceramics is a great opportunity to bring artwork into a daily activity, whether it's, you know, your morning coffee ritual or tea, and those sort of everyday mundane interactions and making those a little more special, or whether it's a big serving platter or something that you bring out at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Because I know growing up, I have a lot of like food memories, you know, where I can think about my grandma's rutabagas, and the only reason they tasted so good is when I was older, I realized she put a pound of butter in there, you know?
Makes everything taste better.
It does.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to have those special meals and share those special interactions with your family on top of a handmade object that's also got a lot of care and effort and time put into it, just like the food, I think is really... is really interesting to me, and I think that it elevates and enhances those meals, but it also elevates and enhances daily interactions, whether it's, you know, your bowl of oatmeal out of, you know, your favorite handmade bowl from someone.
I agree. Yeah. I'm a tea drinker, and when I have the right cup, there's something about it. I mean, technically the tea tastes exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
because I brew it the same way every day. But when I have something that feels good in my hand and looks good and all of that, and I know was made with care and attention and it wasn't a mass-produced product, there is something different.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's funny, my wife, she's in graduate school at the medical college right now, and so she always, you know, has a mug or two, either of mine or from our sort of mug and cup collection that we have at home that she brings to work with her. And it's always nice to kind of have, you know, that something, you know, she's in a little office and she's working on a computer a lot, and it's nice to have this touch of something that's handmade. We spend so much time on screens and our phones and whatnot, and we as humans crave some more of that hands-on interaction.
That tactile, with
a physical object.
I think so, too. And there's something about it, and we as humans have had fascination with objects since we were humans.
Yeah.
Probably since before we were actually technically humans. There's something about collecting a beautiful stone or something that you hold and something that feels like it has some sort of energy to
Definitely.
It. Yeah. So you're about to participate in the Morning Glory show, which is a big, wonderful thing that is invitation only, right?
Yeah, it's a juried art fair. So, you know, hundreds of artists apply, and then a blind jury of a few people look at all their images and decide, you know, okay, you know, these are the best jewelers, these are the best ceramics that in their opinion, have applied, and so that's who's in the show.
Is this the first time for you?
This will be my third year participating in the show.
And so what is your experience with that? How do people react to your work?
I really like selling my work face-to-face, and art fair is a really great option for that. It's also a really good opportunity for me to talk to the customer or the patron and describe what my process is like, why I glazed it the way I glazed it. For the customer, it's also really nice to be able to hear the story behind some of the objects and the inspiration. It's always nice when an object has some sort of presence on its own, but I think we as humans really appreciate some sort of story behind it, and that just adds to that. And I think that's a really good opportunity when you're buying artwork from a living artist in person.
Do you find that art fairs like this one also give you an opportunity to network with other artists and other potential buyers outside of somebody who's like, I want this cup?
Absolutely. The kiln that I fire in Delafield, I didn't even know that was there when I first moved to Milwaukee. Michael Imes, who's the ceramics professor at Carroll, was in the show with me the first year that I did it. And he's like, oh, hey, I know I fire a wood kiln with some other folks. I'll get your email on our group email list and you should join us for a firing. And the ceramics community in general is very inclusive and welcoming. At least my experiences have been, and pretty tight knit and open and willing to share tips and tricks and information and that sort of thing. So
has it increased sales as well?
Definitely. It's nice now that I feel like I'm starting to get established, having only lived in Milwaukee for 5 years, and now I'm doing the Morning Glory Art Fair for the third year in a row. I'm starting to see people coming back. Oh, I bought a mug from you last year. I want to get a big bowl this year. Or I bought a set of nesting bowls and I want to get something else now. Or my sister really loved this thing I have, so I'm going to get her a piece of yours for Christmas or whatnot. It's really, really rewarding. That's the biggest compliment I can get as an artist, is somebody saying, I use this every day and I appreciate it.
Milwaukee-based potter Andrew Linderman will be showing his work at the Morning Glory Art Fair this weekend. There's a link to more information about his work and the fair at wuwm.com. Linderman spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North.